Welcome back to the Root Cause Medicine Podcast. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kate Kresge, joined once again by Dr. Mamina Taregano. She was nice enough after last week's episode on hair to stay for a little bit of extra time to answer a question that's uniquely suited for expertise. What is going on with adult acne? We get this question a lot. It's been a highly requested topic, especially from people who are in the perimenopause stage of life, and they notice that they're getting acne in their 30s, 40s, or 50s when they may have gone decades without an outbreak. Dr. Mamina takes us through the root causes of adult acne and her treatment approach to it, including things like supplements and lifestyle. It's a great bonus episode where it's like we just get to pick our friend's brain who happens to be an expert in this. I think Dr. Taregano has an amazing way of explaining this topic. Let's dive in. Before we get started, though, I've got a special question for the practitioners in the audience. Practitioners, what if your supplement dispensing, patient education, and treatment planning all lived in one powerful platform? Built for whole person care. And what if that platform was free for both you and your patients while saving you hours each week on treatment planning and follow-up? Well, meet FullScript, the comprehensive care delivery platform designed to reduce administrative burden and enhance clinical impact. From automated refills and lab ordering with interpretation to evidence-based protocols and built-in adherence support, FullScript integrates the tools you need to streamline care and stay focused on what matters most, your patients. In a recent survey, 74% of providers reported saving up to 3 hours per week using FullScript to create their treatment plans. Are you ready to work smarter and elevate your practice? Visit FullScript.com to get started today. So Dr. Mamina Taregano, you've been nice enough to stay after your original podcast with us to film a little bit of an extra segment around adult acne. So we get a ton of questions on the Root Cause Medicine podcast, and actually a number of them have centered around skin changes around perimenopause. And one in particular is around adult acne. In your mind, what are the things that can contribute to new onset adult acne? And what are some of the tools that you use to help people address it?
Yes, I know adult acne is so annoying, but yes. So there could be a couple of things at play. When you're in the 40, 50 age range, the perimenopausal hormonal changes could be playing a really big role. There are a lot of other reasons why we are seeing adult acne. A lot of it is still kind of theoretical, because I don't think we have a lot of studies, but just from what I've seen, I think stress plays a really big role. I have a personal theory that I think that increased caffeine consumption could be playing a role. And I don't know if it's the caffeine itself versus the sugar that people might be adding to their caffeinated beverages or the dairy, but just something to think about. I do think that there are more like endocrine disrupting chemicals in our environment. So the same things that could be contributing to infertility or to thyroid issues could also be playing a role with acne, like just disturbing like our hormonal balances. But yeah, it's weird to think that like people like going through perimenopause could be experiencing acne. And when you're going through perimenopause, all your hormones are essentially decreasing, but they could be changing at different rates. So like your testosterone or your androgens could still be hanging out while your estrogen or your progesterone are going down. And so it's that, and like even minute changes will make that change very noticeable to your body. So while your estrogen is decreasing, but your androgens are still up there, that will more often than not manifest as acne. So it's that, and there's also like more just complex, intricate changes, just because the interplay between the hormones is very complex. But yeah, because your hormones are changing, it's just things are acting in a wacky manner. And that's how acne comes about. So yeah, it's very frustrating.
So what can people do? Are there things that, especially for acne in this stage of life, are particularly helpful?
Yeah, because one of the things to consider too, people, your skin is not the same as it was when you were a teenager. When you're a teenager, you do have more oily skin. Your skin's a little bit more resilient. As you're going through perimenopause, skin can be weird, but oftentimes it can get more dry. There could be combination skin. And so when you're using products, you don't want to use things that are too harsh. You want to make sure that you're really preserving your skin barrier. So keeping your cleansers gentle, make sure you're always moisturizing. But I mean, you could still use a lot of the same acne treatments. I would say to not try to do too much of the quote harsh things like benzoyl peroxide. I love, it's a great acne medicine, but it can be irritating for a lot of people. So I would not go overboard with that. I do think it's important to be on some type of retinoid that can be drying for people, but there are different strengths. So even being on a low strength retinoid, like an over-the-counter one that's made specifically for acne that used to be a prescription, is adapalene. So that's helpful. Another kind of topical, a couple of topical products that I like that are, quote, more gentle are like azelaic acid. You can get like 10% over the counter brands, the 15% to 20% strength that you can get with a dermatologist. And sulfur, I like sulfur a lot too. You can get over the counter sulfur spot treatments or sulfur soaps or washes. And then there's also prescription strength too. So doing that. And then if acne is pretty pretty severe or cystic, that's where systemic treatments are going to be more helpful. Like one of the most commonly prescribed prescriptions that we do for hormonal acne or adult acne is spironolactone, just because that works more so by blocking the androgen receptors. Supplement wise, I actually am a fan of oral pumpkin seed oil. Tell patients, yeah.
Why? And like
it's anti-androgen effect with that.
Wow.
So yeah. And it's affordable. Tell people take 2000 milligrams in the evening. So that could be helpful. And topical pumpkin seed oil too. Like there's like just this random brand called Bellaterra that you can get on Amazon, the pumpkin seed oil. And it's like, it doubles as a moisture. I mean, I would still add another moisturizer on top, but it's an oil. And when you think oil, like, oh my God, pore clogging. But no, this is helping acne and also like moisturizing the skin. So I like that one as well.
I was not thinking you were going to say that.
Yeah, no, I am a fan. And also, I know we talked about hair loss earlier. Love it for hair loss too, for female pattern hair loss.
Oh yeah, I got asked you about rosemary oil while you're still.
Oh yeah, rosemary oil for hair loss. There's at least one small study. I think there's more than one study to show that it is helpful, but it's not going to be as good as Rogaine
or
topical minoxidil. I think it's a nice, like, supportive treatment. That, you know, sometimes I'll tell people to like mix it with their shampoo. Like if you have the oil drops to like dilute it in your shampoo and like massage it into your scalp.
Ooh.
I think that's like an easy way to incorporate it.
Yeah, it is. Rather than having to like leave it on, then do your hair wash.
Exactly.
Okay. So you said for acne, you mentioned one supplement and I got so excited about it that we.
Oh yeah. Pumpkin seed oil. Yeah. Yeah. So oral pumpkin seed oil.
Are there any others?
So for people who are still dealing with their periods and having certain symptoms associated with their periods, like signs of estrogen excess, like if they get kind of breast tenderness or breast enlargement before their period, bloating, just like little like fluid buildup, I recommend something called diindolmethane or DIM. Yeah, just to kind of help a little bit with just getting rid of some of that excess estrogen.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that for people. So not necessarily perimenopause, but people who have irregular periods, who have more like are in the kind of PCOS spectrum, of symptoms. So like, you know, if you're having hair loss too, potential like infertility, I am a fan of Vitex or Chase Berry to help with your acne too. And you know, it's tough. I think So once again, because I have such an interest in integrative dermatology, I know about these things and I did a certificate program. It's called the Integrative Dermatology Certificate Program. So that's where also I learned a lot of these different things. Cause I was going to just make a general statement that you should always talk to your doctor or your dermatologist before starting these to make sure you're a good candidate. At the same time, not all derms know about these supplements too. So, it would be great if you had like a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor too, who may be versed in this. I know not everyone is. I guess that's why we have all the, like, I try to educate people online, because you don't want to like start all of these things at the same time. Like you maybe not need all of these supplements, but, yeah. So I just think it's important if you have somebody who can guide you to guide you through that. But yeah, those are kind of top of mind. I think, you know, for people who have more like the T-zone acne, which I see more so in the younger population, I do like pantothenic acid and carnitine.
Ooh, so. Okay. I'm wondering, I've been hearing more patients being really concerned lately about taking too many B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
How does that cause their acne? And I'm so curious what the response to that is.
Well, for sure, biotin, which is vitamin B7, we have seen that trigger acne we do see, yeah, B12 trigger acne as well. So it's not like all B vitamins, because like niacinamide, which is vitamin B3, can be helpful for people with acne, okay. Like higher doses of that. But I think the biggest culprit's like B12 and biotin.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because, you know, you said biotin and it made me realize we didn't really talk about that in the first part.
Oh my gosh. Actually, yeah, because that's such a hot topic in that so many derms hate biotin, which is crazy, right? Because that's the number one thing people think about when they want to treat hair loss. I don't think there's any true harm if you are taking under 5,000 micrograms of biotin. The thing is that biotin, we don't have studies to show that biotin is really helpful for hair loss unless you are truly biotin deficient. And it's hard to know if you are biotin deficient unless you're like deficient in like the enzyme called biotinidase. If you have that deficiency, which is like a genetic disorder. If you are on like IV nutrition, which, you know, you have to be really sick to be on IV nutrition. There are cases where you can have low biotin. It's just that the test, like the assay to test for biotin is not that accurate. So it's hard to know if you're really biotin deficient, but we do know that like, your gut microbiome plays a role in producing biotin. So if you have disruption in your gut microbiome, like if you're on antibiotics, that can potentially, or at least temporarily, decrease your biotin levels. And then Accutane, so we do see people lose their hair when they're on Accutane. It's also been shown that it can decrease biotin absorption in your body. And there's certain medications like anti-seizure medications that can affect biotin, whether it's production or absorption in your gut. And high inflammatory states can also affect your biotin production too. And a lot of people, if they're sick, they can be in a high inflammatory state, or if they have an autoimmune flare or whatever. And so I think that there are people potentially who are biotin deficient who can benefit from biotin. Now, the other reason why they don't like it, besides the fact that we don't have good studies to show that it's helpful unless you're biotin deficient, it can be somewhat helpful for nails. But the other reason why we don't like it is that if you are taking higher doses above 5,000, close to 10,000 micrograms a day, it can affect your blood test. And like, there's an important blood test, which are your troponin markers, which test for, those are cardiac enzymes that you test for, right, for heart attacks. So like, it can falsely lower them. There was one case, I believe, so it's not like a common thing, but there was one case where a woman had normal troponin levels when she was actually having a heart attack and she was on biotin. So that's scary. And then another thing that people commonly test for, thyroid, it can affect your thyroid levels too. So I tell patients to stop it at least 3 days, ideally a week, before you get your blood work if you are taking it. If you're having a heart attack, just make sure you're telling your doctor if you're on biotin, if you're in the ER for whatever reason. But yeah, that's just another kind of nuisance about it. So it discourages derms to recommend it more. But so just things to keep in mind with biotin. It might be helpful. I don't think it's going to hurt if you're on like below 5,000. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's my little spiel. Yeah.
Generally, biotin is a safe thing to take.
Right.
Often folks will reach for that, and it's in so many over-the-counter hair supplements. But it is good to know about these edge cases so that you can stay safe and you can make sure you get accurate test results if you are taking it by stopping or making your provider aware. So I think that's really great disclaimers. But you've given us so many other options to choose from.
Yeah. Than just biotin. Yeah. There's a little bit of biotin in Nutrafol, which, you know, I'm fine with. And yeah, but just disclaimer, don't just automatically reach for biotin if you're dealing with hair loss. There are better things out there, actually.
I mean, it sounds like a gut test. If your gut is having symptoms and maybe you've been antibiotics, like that might even be a worthy investigative thing.
Yeah. Or those people may benefit more from biotin.
I guess the perimenopause audience has tuned into this part, especially, right? Because we were talking about acne for them.
Yes.
No, like, can this happen in andropause as well?
Like with men?
Yeah, getting acne. Like, do you see that at all? Or do we really more see this more so in the perimenopause population?
Honestly, more so in the perimenopause. Yeah. I'm trying to think of my male cases. The men who I see, typically the men who have acne later in life, they have had it when they were younger. There's like the kind of genetic predisposition to like increase oiliness. I'm not going to say it doesn't happen. I just haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. And it's not a phenomenon that I recall learning or seeing when I was in residency for men, but for women. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. We see it. Mm-hmm. We'll sometimes see improvement too. Some people will like stop getting acne because like their androgens are going down for the first time. So, but yeah, it's just the wackiness that's happening with your hormones in that stage causes it.
So you mentioned some lifestyle stuff for hair. Is there like, I would imagine for acne, it would be like a lower glycemic diet, more fiber, more fluid.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that. Lower glycemic, more fiber. Fiber is so underrated. We love fiber for acne. And then dairy, we do have a lot of compelling studies to show that dairy can make acne worse, more so skim milk family of dairy, but in general, all forms of dairy, which is tough because I do think that there's benefits to things like yogurt or like kefir. I don't even know. I never know how to pronounce it, but anyways, you know, like the probiotics from those foods. But yeah, those are the main food groups, high glycemic and dairy. And then if we could add more fiber, that would be great. Add more hydration would be helpful. I do think that just quote processed foods, things that are made with more processed vegetable oils, we've seen more issues with as well. Things that can potentially just make you more inflamed in quotes internally. So can affect, but data wise, high glycemic and dairy are the two foods that we've seen contribute to worsening acne.
That's good to know. Easy enough to change.
Yeah. 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 It's easy enough to like, just be more mindful about it, you know?
Okay. We have picked your brain for like an hour now and you have been such a good sport.
Oh my gosh. I love talking about this stuff.
I'm glad because I feel like I'm hitting you with so many questions and you have such great answers to everything. I want to just give you a space to chat about like, what does the rest of your year look like? You've got a lot of time with your kiddos. Mm-hmm. At home, watching your little one learn to crawl and walk in the next few months.
Yeah. So to me, yeah, family is so important. Career wise, I do really want to work on my YouTube just because like this podcast is an example. There's so much stuff that I want to talk about that it's hard to do in short form. Like I think that there's so many benefits or opportunities for education with like TikTok and Instagram, but to do these deep dives, where, because the other thing too, that like AI is like getting in the way as well. So I want to be able to do deep dives that where people like need to tune into this as opposed to like that, where they can't find it in AI, where they learn about stuff that I saw from the last 16 years of patient treatment. So yeah, anyways, but I enjoy going into these deep dives too and really getting into the details of different topics. So that's going to be a big project of mine, is getting into YouTube. And then, yes, I do want to do more with Future Clinic, which is going to be people who want my specific help or, you know, prescriptions. They that's an opportunity for them to do that.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's so exciting. There's so much that we can do with technology now, where like, you know, even 30 years ago, you would have really only been able to see the people in your community.
Oh yeah. Right. And now it's so different now. It's crazy.
I want to talk about what you're doing in life, because people are probably wondering, oh, can I see you as a patient? Where can mm-hmm. I learn more? And you've built some really great free educational resources for people, even just in your mm-hmm. YouTube channel. Talk to folks about where they can find you.
Yes, I am in private practice, but my practice is really full, so I'm not accepting new patients at this time. So unfortunately, there's that. But I do a lot of, like you said, a lot of educational resources online, a lot of stuff on my YouTube, very active on Instagram and TikTok at Dr.Mamina. But in terms of getting access to like prescription care, two other dermatologists and myself started an online platform called DermClick, where it's like easy access to like the popular prescriptions that people would want, whether it's for their skin, like tretinoin or retin-A for their skin, prescriptions for hair loss, And yeah, so that's really easy without having to make an appointment with a dermatologist.
So you can do that. Wow. Yes. What a labor of love. That's a big thing to set up.
Yes. There's also another online platform called Future Clinics that I'm a part of. It should be available in the coming months for patients, but you could essentially subscribe to me as a patient. And as a subscriber, you're able to ask questions, get prescriptions. So look out for that. It's called Future Clinics, and I am going to be on there in a few months.
Okay. So lots of ways for people to work with you, even if they're not in New Orleans, able to see you as your patient.
That's correct. Yes.
Very cool. I always love when doctors do that, because I know it's a lot of work to set things like that up.
It is. It is.
I just want to thank you so much for your time today. Everyone, please go follow Dr. Mamina on YouTube, on Instagram, on her website. Stay tuned. You can see her as a patient in a few months at the Future Clinic. And thank you so much for being here today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I really just enjoyed this conversation. I just felt like there were a lot of topics that were honestly fun for me to talk about. And so I hope that your listeners can benefit.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're so glad you're here. Before you go, we'd love your help spreading this message of whole person care. Our goal is to bring this education to more practitioners for free, and you can make a huge difference. If you liked today's episode, leave us a 5-star review. We read every single one. Drop a comment and let us know what resonated with you, or share this episode with a friend or colleague who might enjoy it. One important note, the views expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and the guests, and they don't necessarily reflect the views of FullScript or any affiliated organizations. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and it's not intended to be medical advice. For your safety, always check with your healthcare provider before making any changes to your healthcare routine. We'll catch you next time on the Root Cause Medicine Podcast.